Good afternoon. Good evening. Good morning. Well met to any of you that are tuning in to this new session presented by JRPGN. I am your host, Fu, presenting myself as a Jamaican tropical mockingbird. Apologies, this is not the episode where I'll be explaining what that is all about. Not here. For now, we're going to take a look at how to play tabletop role-playing games. So, you've been smitten. You're interested. From what you've heard, you'd like to either know more or you want to jump right in. Before we get into the thing, let me just straight up and say, if you know somebody who is already playing tabletop role-playing games, and you believe these people, this is important, you believe these people who are playing to be cool, patient, understanding, and not complete jerks, then that would be a really good place for you to go and give it a shot. Their experience in the genre will be an advantage that you'll have in getting guidance as to how to play. Their experiences will help you to hit the ground running, basically, and jump into the games that they're playing, or just observe what they're playing. So yes, if you have friends who are already playing, that is an advantage you'll have into jumping in and continue with the adventures that they are going into. Or maybe you've heard from somebody that has played before. They are another good set of people to sit down and talk to and hear what they have to say. That journey and experience is personal to you, and it can be fun for both of you, or the lot of you. You can also go and take a look at actual plays, where you can watch people who are playing. Shows like D&D Jamaica, Dimension 20, Critical Role, loads of channels, just search for them. A good supplement after this is to go and jump into, if you're not ready to completely jump into a game, you can also observe actual play sessions. There's lots of people on the internet who are playing games that you're interested in, be it Cyberpunk, Shadowrun, Haunted West, Call of Cthulhu, Vampire Masquerade, Traveller, Everybody's John. You can go ahead and find people who are playing these games and watch how they're playing and take a gander as to what the gaming etiquette is like.
Would you kindly?
And for the rest of you who just want to sit here and listen to a tropical Jamaican mockingbird tell you about the thing, yeah, here you are. So yes, please relax, listen, and make use of the pause button if you want to take a stop and do some of your own research while listening. Or if you're simply listening to this while doing something else, that is fine. I thank you for choosing me to occupy your headspace while presenting these ideas on playing role-playing games. So, first off, playing tabletop RPGs or TTRPGs involve collaboration, imagination, and a willingness to explore new worlds and stories. Here's a guide to get you started, covering essential aspects from selecting a game to understanding your role as a player or game master. That's PC for player character or GM for game master.
Game master, master of the games.
Oh, you're probably wondering, if you're going to play, what are you going to be? Are you a player? Or are you a GM? Now, if you want to play these games traditionally like you've played any other games, then you probably know exactly which one you're going to be.
I'm here to play GM.
However, if you're the creative storytelling world-building kind that may or may not have a god complex, you might find the idea of being a GM interesting for you as well.
I am a god, you dull creature!
Deciding on whether you want to be a player or a game master depends on your interest. For game masters, do you enjoy storytelling and guiding narratives? Are you interested in creating worlds with rich details and backstories? Do you like designing characters, both friendly NPCs and antagonists, and seeing how they interact with players? Do you want to simulate being a god in a fictional universe, controlling the world, its mechanics, and its events? Then you just might be a GM. And depending on the game you're playing, you'll be called different things. People who GM for Dungeons & Dragons, for example, are known as Dungeon Masters. Players who GM for Artel Sorian Cyberpunk, the original 2020 game, you'd have been called a referee. In later iterations, they'd be called a GM. If you want to play or create game worlds for cosmic horror, Lovecraftian madness in Call of Cthulhu's, Chaosium's Call of Cthulhu, they call their GMs Keepers of Arcane Lore. All of that fun stuff. And then for World of Darkness series like Hunter of the Reckoning, Werewolf of the Apocalypse, and Vampire the Masquerade, those GMs are called Storytellers. Regardless, all of them are GMs, Game Masters. But that's for GMs. Maybe you know exactly what you're here to do. You are here to play. You are a player character. You are a PC with these interests or others. Do you want to roleplay and explore different personas and narratives? Are you looking for more freedom and creativity than what board games, card games, and video games offer? Consider what kind of setting or character you want to play. Do you prefer a wizard in a fantasy world, a detective in a noir setting, or a starship captain in a sci-fi universe? What kind of equipment and abilities do you want to have? Do you want to have magic, advanced technology, supernatural powers like a superhero? Depending on your answers for those, you might know exactly whether or not you're going to be a player or a GM or both. You might be in a situation where you and your friends want to play and one of you have to GM. You could even swap it out. Have somebody GM for one story, and then once that's done, allow that GM to be a player and then somebody else takes up the mantle. You can also be a forever GM. This is a term given to people who have only ever GM'd in the tabletop scene. And trust me, GMs have just as much fun playing tabletop RPGs as players do. Anyone who's interested in creating worlds, running them, managing them, micromanagers will love this shizzle. Storytellers, improvisers, it's always fun to build something and watch people have fun in them. So don't worry, a good GM knows how to have fun while they're doing it as well, so don't feel too sorry for them. But if you want to be a pal, go ahead and give them the opportunity to play every now and again, or at least invite them to do so if they're interested. Alright, so with that out of the way, let's take a look at the importance of literacy, self-reliance, and role-playing in RPGs. Literacy. Understanding and interpreting rules, character sheets, and narrative descriptions are crucial. Strong reading and comprehension skills enhance the experience, but most games can accommodate varying levels of literacy with support from the group. Self-reliance. Players are often required to manage their own characters, tracking inventory, remember rules pertaining to their abilities, and make decisions independently. A sense of initiative helps in problem solving and engaging with the game world. Remember, a game master already has a lot on their plate when it comes to creating the world, running the world, managing all the non-playable characters, including the friendly ones, the antagonists, and the questionable ones, the game settings, the rules. They have to manage all of these so that your characters can come in and play. If you leave it up to them to manage your characters and inventory, that is the same as handling another NPC on the table, which isn't quite fair to the GM, and it also robs you of the experience of actually playing your character. You should know your character's stats. You should know what is in your character's back pocket. You should know the backstory and NPCs that are related to your character in game. Do they have a family? Do they have loved ones? Do they have enemies? These people, these elements of your game helps you to immerse yourself in the game, and it is how you play. Now, when it comes to role-playing is crucial to RPGs. Players must embrace their character's persona, motivations, and actions to contribute to the story. This can range from basic decision-making to fully immersing oneself in the character's dialogue and behavior. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that you are supposed to act or expected to act physically and gesticulate and change your voice and mannerisms to play the game. Lots of people like to do this. Lots of people like to dress up when they come to play, but it's not essential to play the game. You can simply narrate all of these elements that I described. In the game, while talking to your GM and other players, you say, you tell, you explain, and you narrate what it is your character is doing in the game. If you want your character, for example, to get into an interrogation with an NPC and you want them to be very upset, you want them to have a deep, angry voice, and you want them to gesticulate and point at the character angrily, you, the player, don't have to do this if you do not feel comfortable doing so. You can simply tell the GM and the other players at the table that this is what you want your character to do in the game, and that is enough for the character to do exactly as you've described in the game setting. So yes, in regards to role-playing, improv, voice acting, and the like you see on famous shows with professional voice actors, that does not have to be you. Also, especially when you're just starting for the first time, you might be nervous, you might be confused, you might be asking a lot of questions, and you could be unnerved in a situation. Maybe there's a fight that broke out that you feel that is all your fault, and you really feel anxious and you want to make sure that your character acts a certain way. You as a player, your nerves and your anxieties and your insecurities, those are normal, those are fine. And if you're around cool people, that's them getting to know who you are. You can still, in that state, after you calm down a bit actually, tell the players and the GM what you want your character in the game to do. Alright, you don't have to project your feelings and your anxieties in your character if you do not want to. If it doesn't fit them in the situation, you separate yourself from the player that you're playing. Just like when you pick up a video game controller and you're playing Mario Brothers on TV, you might be a dude sitting down in front of your TV with a controller in your hands, getting upset and throwing your controller on the ground. Mario is still on the screen waiting for you to press the buttons on the controller and tell him what to do, right? Your feelings and your anxieties, your insecurities, your sense of humor, your outbursts, they do not have to translate to what the player in the game is doing. You can separate the two. So that's it with role play. Some tables may require players to get into role play, but we'll get into what tables and what groups are joining later. For now, just know that in most tables, at least with most understanding, patient, and cool tables, you don't have to get into improv, roleplay, voice acting, costume, or any kind of acting if you don't want to. All the roleplay can be done through your descriptions and your instructions to the GM and players as to what your character wants to do in game. Alright. When it comes to choosing the type of game you want to play, choosing the right RPG can significantly affect your experience, especially if it's your first time playing. Please consider these factors. Who to play with? Decide whether you want to play with friends or join an existing group, or even create one of your own. And the pros of creating or finding a group: playing with friends, family, co-workers, schoolmates, community members that you're familiar with can be more comfortable and enjoyable. However, convincing reluctant players who you really want to play with you might be your biggest struggle, especially if they're not particularly interested.
Where are they?
I think they're talking about us. No way.
Come
on, Lewis, let's go.
And if the group fragments into those who want to play and those who won't, that's just something your relationship will have to go through. Maybe they'll join later, maybe not. Maybe they'll just be happy hearing about the adventures secondhand, or not. All that depends on how strong the relationships are in the first place. After all, not everyone has the same interest. Movies, music, art, books, entertainment, spots, events. Add TTRPGs to the pile. What could go wrong? When it comes to joining an existing group, the pros: joining existing groups introduces you to experienced players and different playstyles. You will also have experienced gamers who will help guide you or answer questions you may have during play, allowing you to kind of hit the ground running without having to refer to the rule books as much during play. It's easy to jump in and play with people who already know what they are doing, or at least are confident enough about what they're doing. Always make sure to go through the rules yourself when you give yourself the time or get around to it. Unless you like having blind, unquestioned faith in others, it's just a game after all. So as long as you're having fun, that's all that matters. That's not the last time you'll hear me say that. Now, however, when it comes to joining groups, finding the right group can be challenging if you don't share similar interests or schedules. Remember what I said a little earlier about making sure that you're with people that you trust, whose flows matches yours, whose patience is acceptable and accommodating to noobs. You don't want your first experience to be with a bunch of jerks or elitists. Established groups may have some specific dynamics that take some time to adjust to, but don't worry. If one group doesn't work out, take some time and go and look for another group. As small as our community here is in Jamaica, there are more than one group to find. And you're not limited to just playing with Jamaicans. The role-playing community is international. There's many groups to join. You should find the one that's right for you. Just represent us well and don't be the asshole at the table, please. So, what comes first? The group or the game? Choosing the game first. Pros: you get to play a game that you're most interested in. Cons: finding a group willing to play that specific game might be harder. However, if the game you're interested in playing is one of the oldest and most popular games, then you should not have a problem. Snore.
Marsha, Marsha, Marsha!
Choosing the group first. Easier to join and start playing. Less pressure on choosing the game. Cons: may need to compromise the game type or setting. Now, when it comes to choosing the game that you want to play, here's a couple of things to take into account: the settings, the rules, the themes, and the content. the setting. Choosing between fantasy, sci-fi, horror, modern, historical, or a mix. The settings can be varied. There's so many different types of game settings to choose from. There's apocalyptic settings. There's Olympus-style settings where you can play as gods. There are hellscapes where you can basically play on a trip to hell and back. There's game settings that focus on one city. There's game settings that focus on the water. There's game settings that focus on street fighting. Depending on the type of setting you want to play, there is a number of RPGs out there. Just as much as there are video game and board game RPGs, there are a lot of RPGs to go through and choose from. The rules. Now, some of you may already be concerned as to how complex some of these rules are when it comes to playing tabletop RPGs. But rest assured, if you prefer not to have complex rules, tabletop RPGs have you covered. You do have complex rules, such as rules found in Dungeons & Dragons and Cyberpunk, while others, however, will have much lighter rules, like those found in Fiasco or Everyone's John. So if you want to go straight into storytelling RP and you don't want to get bogged down by rules, there is a game out there that can fit your playstyle. Don't worry about that. Themes and content. Decide on the tone, lighthearted versus dark. Decide on the themes, exploration, combat, politics. There's a myriad of themes to choose from. Difficulty. Some games are beginner friendly, while some require more knowledge and experience. Those vary. When it comes to materials needed, the game master at the table would be the best person to tell you what material is needed for the game that they're playing. Please check with your game master. If you are the game master and you're creating your own game, you're going to be deciding what type of materials you're going to need. Once you've decided on what game that you've wanted to play, the rulebook will tell you what material is needed. Dice are one of the most common pieces of materials used in the game, both physically and online. However, dice is just one of the materials used for deciding whether or not a player or an NPC in a situation is successful. Some games use playing cards, a regular deck of playing cards. Some of them use specialized cards. Some of them will use coins, giving you a 50-50 style game. Character sheets.
Choose your character!
Character sheets you will use to jot down your characters or your NPCs' information. Their names, their race, their equipment, their stats, their abilities, their backgrounds, who they're related to, their motivations. All of these things will go on the character sheet, which could be a regular piece of paper or a form that you use to fill out, showing you exactly what goes where. You can even get digital character sheets in the form of PDFs or applications specifically focused to the game that you're playing. Or even more general, character sheets that can have a myriad of different characters from a myriad of different types of games. Some people will like to use maps for their games, miniatures representing the players you're playing, NPCs, antagonists, or obstacles, digital tools, which are used for digital tabletops, which are called virtual tabletops, VTTs. Getting access to the rules of the game.
Got a selection of good things on sale, stranger.
So, you've chosen the game that you've wanted to play. Look at you. Congratulations. Now, there are many different formats available for getting rules for the games. Books are some of the most common forms to get. physical copies of rule books, often comprehensive and collectible. You can also get your hands on PDFs or digital copies. These are more accessible, researchable, searchable, and portable. Like, you can have everything for your game on your mobile phone. You can have the books that you need to read, the character sheets, the contact information for all your players, the maps, the virtual tabletop platform, the communications platforms you use, all of that on your mobile phone. Even dice. You can have dice apps, card apps, coin apps, whatever it is that the game needs. In this day and age, just about everything has been digitized. Go ahead and search and see what is available for your game. And don't worry, if the official game doesn't have any official platforms or digital services for your game that you're playing, ask around the game community and there's more than likely somebody out there using something. The communities usually pick up for what the corporations don't put up. Just like in video games. You want to play as Iron Man in Rockstar's Grand Theft Auto, but Rockstar won't give you Iron Man. A mod out there has created Iron Man, Superman, and the rest of the DC and Marvel characters for you to blast, swoop, or grenade, or kamehameha your game to thy content.
Bankai.
Right. There's also free rules online. Online, for a lot of the more established games that are out there, they will have samples out there for you to download and take a look at. For example, I know you can go and find free samples for Dungeons & Dragons. You can find free samples for Chaosium's Call of Cthulhu. You can find an easy mode free sample for Artosaur and Cyberpunk, all of which you can download and use. If you're lucky enough to be in a large country that has brick and mortar stores that sells and provides tabletop RPG content and materials, some of those stores will have physical free copies for you to get your hands on. Every year there is an event called Free RPG Day. The participating stores will actually give out free samples and free game sessions for new upcoming games that are coming out. And there are some tabletop RPGs that are 100% free and available for download. Some of the simpler ones that take up no more than one page and a PDF available for you to just look online and start playing and having fun. Joining online communities. Virtual tabletop platforms, VTTs, tools like Roll20, Foundry VTT, and Fantasy Ground facilitate online play. But again, these are established VTTs. On Steam, there is a number of VTTs for you to take a look at and play. Almost every day when I go on Steam, I find a new VTT available. So there's the established ones, and there might be one out there that's right for you and your friends. Have fun hunting for virtual tabletops. When it comes to joining online communities, you can also find them on social media and forums. Join groups on Discord, Facebook, Reddit, Instagram, X, formerly known as Twitter, TweetTweet. Specialized forums and find games, get advice, and connect with other players. Types of rulebooks.
I love books! Book! Book!
Harry, I don't think Patrick knows how to use a book properly.
Now, when shopping around for your very first tabletop role-playing book, be it PDF or the physical book, I highly recommend that you start with the core rule book, unless you know exactly what it is you want to go out and get your hands on. The core rule book contains all the essential rules for gameplay, character creation, and world building.
Hey, wanna play?
Player books focus on rules and options available for players.
And I don't need any of this! I don't need this stuff! I don't need you! I don't need anything! Except this!
GM Books provides guidelines for running the game, creating scenarios, and managing narratives. They also have an in-depth guide on the system that you use to play and lots of helpful tips for GMs in regards to play, control of the table, and example stories to run with your players.
Read it!
Cast a spell! Read it!
Alpha Bug.
Don't! You can't, can you? Can you? That's why you need all of this! And you need spies and animals in cages and an enemy! You have no real power!
Exactly. That's why I need you.
Starter kits. These are introductory kits that include simplified rules, pre-generated characters, dice, and adventure modules.
This was a stupid impulse buy. When am I even going to have time for this?
Dip a toe. Huh.
Who said that?
Ain't nobody got to know. Just dip a toe.
Wait. You can talk?
I can do a whole lot more than talk, baby.
Supplementary materials. We just spoke about core rulebooks, player handbooks, GM books, starter kits. Supplementary materials are additional content that expand the game, such as adventure modules, monster manuals, game settings, extra vehicles for your game, extra mounts, extra worlds, or extra access to other worlds. Or even cross-play between other games happens with some of these modules. And homebrews. Homebrew models are created by players and fans in the community for different games, expanding them into very niche categories that players find interesting. Lots of ways to expand the game that you've chosen to play. Character creation. Creating a character involves choosing a race, species, class, abilities, and backstories. This process is integral to engaging with the game world and can vary greatly depending on what game you are playing. Now, as complicated as or as easy as some of these character creation processes can be, please ask your GM or take a look at the game to see if they have something called pre-gens or pre-generated characters. These are ready-made character sheets that are all rip-roaring and ready to go. Some of them fill with like 80% of what you need and then have some blanks for you to fill out the rest, like the description of what the character looks like, the name of the characters, your own display pictures. If you go to a lot of game conventions where people will just want to pick up and play and don't want to be bogged down with character creation, pre-gens are the way to go. They're also a really good way to start playing. However, take it, and this is just my personal opinion right here, character creation is fun. Like, it's one of the joys of the game that I like. It's you have a lot more creative freedom when it comes to creating your character in these tabletop RPGs than you'll find in a lot of video games today. As a matter of fact, quite a few elements in RPGs and character creations that are found in video games, they're trying to catch up to what people can do in tabletop RPGs. So yes, pre-gens are convenient and they are cool and they are good for you to jump in and play or to get a gander of what a fully created character can look like. You can also take a created character sheet from people in the community. Some of them have created character sheets and uploaded them for people to play. Lots of ways to create your characters or get your hands on one that's already created. And finally, we're going to end this one on gameplay styles.
Am I going to have a problem with you, Bond?
No, don't worry. You're not my type.
Now, when it comes to gameplay styles, in the first episode, for those of you who tuned in, you would have heard me speak about pen and paper, a live action role play, play by post, and the like. The play style I'm referring to now refers to mostly the length and the style of play. Most of these games can be played in these following formats. Campaigns. Campaigns usually take up two or more sessions where players will come in, they'll start this session in a location, and the narrative is way too long for them to complete in a 2 to 4 hour session, and you may need to come back for more episodes. This is called a campaign. You can also play a one shot. These are game sessions that begin and end with one sessions. You guys gather together, you start the mission and end the mission within the same sitting. You can also join Westmarch. Now, Westmarch style game is usually really big. They are part of a community of players, and you won't have one GM in there more often than not. A proper Westmarch will have more than one GM, and it's not bogged down to any specific time or schedule. You can jump into these games and play and jump out, and that will be fine. Other players will come in and play at different times, and you will all as a community build this game world together. And then there's live action roleplay, where a community gets together and they create a RPG session where you guys go to a location, dress up as a character, and then you guys will physically act out the adventures or settings that the game requires. There's still a lot more to cover when it comes to playing RPGs, but hopefully this will be enough to get you guys enticed and interested in going out there and playing. Hopefully I've answered enough of your questions in regards to getting started playing tabletop RPGs. I'm going to thank everyone who took a gander and a listen to the first installment of these episodes, and hopefully we've answered more questions here, and we're looking to answer more questions moving forward. We'll also be taking a look at specific rules for specific games. Now, the games that we'll cover on this platform are games that Jamaicans have played. I can speak about the games that I have played myself and the ones that I'm passionate about. Even the ones that I've already purchased and put on my bookshelf that I haven't gone through yet myself, I am going to go through them and play with people before I come on this platform and go into them in any particular detail. You'll also be hearing from other voices in the community that talk about the games that they like to play. So those of you who have been waiting to hear more about games like Dungeons and Dragons, don't worry. I know a guy.
It's D&D!
Or two. Or three. There's a lot of people in the community that plays and talks about Dungeons and Dragons. They will come onto the platform and tell you more about it. A lot better than I can possibly tell you. A little disclaimer about myself and just who this Jamaican Tropical Mockingbird is. I have started playing tabletop RPGs back in 2020. But I've heard about them, or at least started to show interest back in 2013. But I didn't start playing my first tabletop RPG, which was Artel Soren's Cyberpunk 2020. I didn't play that until the year 2020. Yeah, I know, don't at me. But yes, we'll also be interviewing people in the community so you guys can actually hear from other players, spectators, and other people who have had experience playing tabletop RPGs as Jamaicans or with Jamaicans. We'll also be interviewing people who are actively playing tabletop RPGs or who has used tabletop RPGs to influence their lives today in different ways. And yeah, that will be it for this installment. Again, I am Foo, this Jamaican Tropical Mockingbird, and I thank you guys all for tuning in, and I'll catch you at the tables or at the next game. Y'all have a good one.